Welcome back to The Takeaway. It's Todd Zwillick. When you buy a product that says Made in America, that label is supposed to say that what you're buying is helping American workers, and you probably assume under fair conditions, but that's not always the case. Investigations by the California State Department of Labor have found that sewers in garment factories in Los Angeles were making as little as $4 an hour and working up to 11-hour days. Meanwhile, a federal Department of Labor investigation showed that clothing companies like Forever 21 often sell garments for prices way below what they would have to charge if the workers were being paid minimum wage. Now, some of these companies have had to pay back wages or settle with workers after investigations turned up violations. But the companies who sell the clothes, like Forever 21 and TJ Maxx, often don't face penalties at all because of loopholes in the law. David Wiles served as administrator for the U.S. Department of Labor's Wage and Hour Division in the Obama administration. When he was there, he helped investigate some of these cases. He's now dean of the Heller School for Social Policy and Management at Brandeis University.
Well, unfortunately, it's something that has happened and has been a feature of the garment industry for a long time. When I was still at Wage and Hour, we did a set of investigations, random investigations in the garment industry. We found violations in 85% of the investigations we did.
So your agency inspected some of these factories. People call them sweatshops. What kind of conditions are we talking about?
Well, it's the kind of things that, we unfortunately read about them in history books, and they're still prevalent. They're places where people work long hours, do not receive overtime pay. Very often, they receive way below the minimum wage. There are unfortunately often also unhealthful conditions. There are remaining problems of blocked exits in terms of fire safety. Just a whole range of problems on basic things like pay and standards, but going across onto other things like occupational health and safety. And it is pervasive across the contractors that one finds throughout Los Angeles and Southern California.
And who are the workers, by and large, who are filling these jobs?
Many of the workers are immigrants to the United States, and some of them are undocumented. Unfortunately, their status often leads them to be prey to employers who are undertaking these employment practices that just go against the basic labor standards of our country. And these are workers very often who are afraid to step forward, even when they know full well that they're not being paid according to the laws of the state and the federal government.
But David Weil, there's something that's a little bit tough to understand here. I mean, it's one thing to hear about a grocery store owner or some small business person exploiting an undocumented worker because that worker is desperate. That's illegal. It goes on, and you try to put a stop to it. These are big American companies. Forever 21 has locations all over America. These are big corporate actors, TJ Maxx, other stores. How are they getting away with this kind of behavior?
Really, so many of these pay practices are a result of a supply chain where at the top of the supply chain you have retailers who are paying manufacturers prices well below what those manufacturers need to produce garments in this country that comply with our laws. And that problem then goes to lower and lower levels. Very often you have a manufacturer who might be hiring multiple contractors to do parts of, let's say, sewing operations. And they are paying those contractors at prices below what would be needed, again, to comply with just these basic labor standards. So really, the problem devolves from the retail prices that are being set far too low in terms of what's being paid to the players in the supply chain. And so really, the nub of the problem is something that companies like TJ Maxx, companies like Forever 21 that sit at the top of these supply chains and will continue to rely in part on domestic production, need to acknowledge and build in into what they pay the suppliers of their products.
Are these great big retailers, David Weil, using some sort of loophole that says, you know, we're not manufacturers, we just sell the clothes in order to get around this? Because in the end, it's the workers who aren't being paid their legal due.
That's absolutely right. And unfortunately, what is true in the garment industry is also true in lots of parts of our economy. There are businesses like retailers or even the manufacturers who directly supply them who can say, they're not our employees, we're just contracting for this work, we're not responsible, and therefore we can turn a blind eye to what's going on. Now, many of the retailers who are involved in sourcing work in Los Angeles have their own codes of conduct that say on paper, we only want to use suppliers who are complying with ethical standards and the legal standards of the country. Unfortunately, often those are paper documents, and the retailers aren't being serious about really trying to source in a way that assures these kinds of practices don't persist.
What has recourse been like for these workers who've been shortchanged?
Well, the Wage and Hour Division has been very aggressive in recovering money. In a set of investigations we did in the garment industry in 2015 and 2016, we recovered more than $1.3 million in lost wages for workers. This is sometimes providing a worker essentially 2 months of the wages that they were really entitled to and didn't receive. The problem, though, is until you root out the practice, until you really address these economics that drive towards this, you're always reacting. You're always trying to recover money as opposed to changing the basic pricing policies that would allow one to proactively make sure people are paid the right amount from the beginning.
Well, Made in America is a popular political slogan here, of course. People like to shop Made in America when they can. Is it possible to have garments made in America long after, you know, most of this industry has already fled to South Asia where labor's cheap?
If companies were simply chasing low wages, they would have left the country years ago. What you're seeing in the remaining industry in Los Angeles is an industry that's really poised to be quick cycle, quick response, fashion-ready production. Because there's a great value to that to retailers. And we know of cases of employers who are showing the economics can work, that you can have a viable business that is still sourcing some of your product in the United States, and that you're paying workers responsibly.
David Weil is the dean of the Heller School for Social Policy and Management at Brandeis University and was administrator of the Wage and Hour Division at the Department of Labor in the Obama administration. David Weil, thank you for being here.
Thank you, Todd.
We reached out to both Forever 21 and TJ Maxx, and we got these comments from the companies. From Forever 21, while we don't own or operate the third-party vendors or contractors involved, it is our policy and practice not to purchase merchandise from any company who violates the law. And we got this from TJ Maxx. We've been troubled by allegation of wage violation issues occurring in Los Angeles factories, and we're taking steps to counteract the issues.
There's a lot going on right now. Mounting economic inequality, threats to democracy, environmental disaster, the sour stench of chaos in the air. I'm Brooke Gladstone, host of WNYC's On the Media. Want to understand the reasons and the meanings of the narratives that led us here, and maybe how to head them off at the pass? That's On the Media's specialty. Take a listen wherever you get your podcasts.